It is good to be in the Lord's house this morning. We bring you greetings from New Testament Baptist Church in Dover, Tennessee. You can't get there from here. You have to go to Louisville and start all over. But it is a blessing. We rejoice in being able to be here. I'd like to thank you all for your prayers for the last year. Most of you know I had to have brain surgery in November, and Lord's blessed. I have had only one seizure since then. And it was reaction to Donna, so it's okay. But I do feel good, and I praise the Lord for that. And if you've never had an experience like that, you need to live through it. I wasn't sure what the Lord was going to do and how the outcome would be, but I had the peace of God that passes all understanding. And so we rejoice in that and praise the Lord for it. I'm going to take one of my 30 minutes to tell you about our conferences coming up at New Testament. We have a missions conference every year, and we try to focus and make it truly mission-minded. And so if you can come, it'll be May the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Starts on that Thursday night, and Lord's blessed the church, and we're able to afford rooms for anybody who'd like to come this year. So if you have the time available, you're most welcome. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we'd ask that you turn to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 22, and we're going to begin reading in the very first verse. 2 Kings chapter 22, beginning in the very first verse. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscoth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work that is which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house." I'd like to preach this morning, the Lord being my helper, on the thought, we need more doers. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings. Lord, we thank you for home church and, Lord, what she stood for down through the years. Lord, we thank you for Brother Dan and his friendship. Lord, we just pray today that we might open our hearts and our minds to your word this morning, Lord, that we might see your truths that you've given to us. Lord, we know there's no preaching us, but Lord, we pray that you might preach through us. Lord, yeah. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all, for it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to begin looking at our text, and it begins with the child King Josiah. Now, I want to take a quick look back, and you don't have to turn to these with your Bible, but I want to point out some things about Josiah and how the Lord made a difference in his life. First, I have to say there had to be a testament of grace in Josiah's life, because no one's born perfect. No one's born saved. No one is born with a mind to do God. And you know what I have found? The difference today is people are teaching and preaching that man is naturally attracted to God, and there's nothing farther from the truth. The fact that this young King Josiah sought the will of God is a work of grace. Now, his parentage was not the best. If you know who he was, Amon was his father. And Amon only served 2 years in Jerusalem, and he was killed because the people could not stand his leadership. So this zeal for what was right did not come down family line. If you know your Bible, it says that the sins of the father will be on up to the third and fourth generation. You know, when I think about that scares me to death. When I look at my children and someday have grandchildren, and I think about what is going to be involved in that in payment of my sin. But you know, it's a wonderful thing because grace intervened. His granddaddy was Manasseh, the worst king that was ever known to Jerusalem. He was rebellious. He led into false worship. He took them down a path they had no business being. And that was his granddaddy. That was very close kin. He didn't know the things of God, but the things of God was taught his heart. Then I want you to see lastly, the other relation was Hezekiah, his great-grandfather. Now Hezekiah, he tried to follow God, but he was a compromiser. You know, we're full of that today, aren't we? I mean, people that have sincerely the desire to do right, but their nature makes them a compromiser. You know, would to God that we as Baptist people would simply start standing up for what we believe again. Just drawing the line, and if it's offensive, so let it be. You know what I have found? God's real people will take to His word, and the rebellious will not. And you're not going to change that with being a compromiser. And Hezekiah almost gave up his life for his compromising attitude. And so we see it didn't come through lineage. We find an 8-year-old boy take the throne and rule the nation like it hadn't been ruled since the days of David. And that takes the power of God. It's nothing natural in man to love the things of God. But we find that Josiah did. Then I want you to see, secondly, in verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, that's very significant, and that's why I believe Josiah was already saved, because they didn't even have the Word of God. They're fixing to discover it. They're fixing to find it back down at the temple. But I want you to see that God's men, when they're really saved, they'll do naturally with that which is not by nature. And we find that in the life of Josiah. He was doing the will of God. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. Now, that last statement in verse 2 indicates compromise. It wasn't saying that he was rejecting things, but a compromiser turns a little to the right, and then he turns a little to the left. And when there's opposition here, he turns back to the right. Josiah did not do that. He went straight down the line. He stand true for the truth again and again and again. And what we have today, and you say, what's crippling our churches? And I'll tell you this, it's a bunch of compromisers. A bunch of people that no longer stand for the truth. Then it says in verse 3, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah. Now, I want you to see the interim there. You know what? He's an 8-year-old boy when he took the throne. 18 years later, he was now 26. He was ready to do the work that God had bidden him to do. Now, you know what? I believe there was training in there. I believe he spent time before God. I believe he spent time seeking the will of God. And again, we as God's people today, we're not doers. And the reason why, we don't spend time like that seeking God. You know what? What I found in young preachers, they get so discouraged after about year two, they're ready to quit. You know what? I don't know that every young man, I know that every young man, the moment he's called, is not ready to pastor. It took years of preparation. This was a work of unbelievable undertaking, and God trained him some 18 years. So the first thing is, God's people, if we're going to be doers, we've got to be patient. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be the snap of your fingers. And if you've ever done mission work, you'll know that. You'll realize that. And then it says, And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying. Now, the first thing I want you to see that he wanted was a real assessment of the situation, realistically. You know what I find today? People are not being realistic in their assessment. They look around their church, oh man, things are going well. We're topping cotton, as we say in the South. But you know what? In reality, that's not the truth. You know, if we get down to reality, we'd say that God, in at least some sense, has withdrawn Himself. And you know what I found in my own personal life? When God withdraws His Spirit from me, it's well due. It's deserving. It's because I've been negligent. It's because I've not been studying. And so we find that that was the situation here. And so then he says in verse 5, after he wants a true report, he said, "And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers." Now, it wasn't in the hand of the pew setters. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what? Every pew setter I know that was worth their salt on Monday through Saturday was out doing the work of God. And I'm not talking preaching. I'm not talking washing the windows down at the church. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, every one of us can go, "Hey, I'm a member down at New Testament Baptist. I'd love to see you down there." You know what? Our preacher's preaching some truth. I'd love you to hear it. And get out there and begin to do something. Amen. You know, do is an action word. It's a helping verb, if I remember right, from fourth grade. But you know, it always comes along with action. You know what's wrong with God's people today? We're not doing. Amen. We're not doing anything. We sit back and listen. I love the doctrines of grace. I love the doctrines of a true local church. I love the truth of the bride. But you know what? That don't make you a doer. Makes you a believer, yes. It makes you cling to the truth, yes. But that is not a doer. A doer is an action word. It makes us want to do things. And let them deliver it, meaning the money, into the hand of the doers of the work. Now, another thing about this money, I don't believe it's to pay the doers off. And me and some of the men were joking about our large advertising staff. You know what? Paid doers, what I have found, they'll get about what they're paid for. They'll get about what they're paid for. And if you're like New Testament Baptist, listen, those salaries don't go on and on forever. And you know what? What I found about a paid doer, they'll quit when the money's gone. That's their nature. That's who they are. And so we find, I think the money went for supplies rather than for the salaries of the doer. Let them deliver into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. Now I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, in verse 4, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, and that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house. I wanted to point out one thing I kind of missed was the accountability. You know what's wrong with God's people today? We're not accountable. We've raised up a generation that says, "Well, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
It's the teacher's fault.
Yeah.
It's mother and daddy's fault."
Yeah.
But I want you to see that here we find Josiah causing Hilkiah to be accountable. He says, "You go down there, you find the situation of the money, and you report it back to me." You know what? We're accountable to God whether you like it or not. You may not be accountable to your pastor. You may not be accountable to mother and daddy. But you're accountable to God. And one day you'll stand before Him and you'll give an accounting of this life. And so we see the accountability was there. You know what? I bet for Josiah it was a difficult thing to institute because it hadn't been done in years. It'd been do as you please and do as you want. Kind of like in 2009, ain't it? And so we see that the accountability he had there. And then I want you to see, go back down to where we were. Verse 6, unto the carpenters. Now I want you to see it wasn't genius. It wasn't high priest. It wasn't the Levites. Plain, everyday ordinary carpenters. You know what? My mind immediately goes to the Lord Jesus Christ, because I understand up to the day that he was 30 and he began his own ministry, that's who he was. He was a carpenter. You know what? We need to understand and know that Brother Dan Gordon ain't the only one here under accountability. He's not the only one here having to do the work of God. It was the everyday Joe the carpenters. What most would look like as a useless thing. Remember what they said of our Lord? Is not this the son of Mary? They brought him down. He's just a carpenter's son. And so we see that it wasn't miraculous people. It was everyday people. And the builders and the masons. Now this may get me out into trouble, but it ain't the mason that's the organization. It's bricklayers. People who knew how to lay block. Amen. You know what I found? When you need a building done, you need people like that. And you need, when you need the work of God done, you need to have people that have a willingness to do it. Amen. You know what? And this is in my home church. Many of you have been there. A good, sound church. I love my people. But the last visitation we have, you know who showed up? Me and my two boys. You know what? It's a shame to them. And I told them the same thing, so I'm not sounding an alarm here that I wouldn't sound there. And so we see it takes everyday people. And I really believe that's where our churches have gone. The everyday people are not built in, not dug in. And then he said, unto the carpenters and the builders, and to buy timber, and to hew stone. Now I want you to see, this is where I think the accountability of the money comes in. The only people he was talking about was the everyday Joes. He didn't say to pay them. He said to buy the needs of the work. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with having a good pastor supply. I believe it. If the church can afford it, their pastor needs to be full time. But listen, you know what? The work of the church, did he say, go ye into the world and support your pastor full time? No. He said to go in the world and preach the gospel. And you know what? Whether we want to accept it or not, that costs money. It's financially consuming. Listen, if you've not flown anywhere lately, listen, they don't let you get on there for $2 or $3. Brother Killian flew from Washington. I bet his fare wasn't free. I bet they didn't say, Brother Killian, you're such a fine fella. We'll fly you into Michigan free of charge this time. It's an expensive endeavor. When you get there and rent a house, it's an expensive endeavor. When you have to buy furniture, when Elizabeth and Isaac went overseas, you know what? They didn't have a new home and fully furnished waiting for them. It's expenses involved. And we need to realize that this money wasn't for their salaries. It was for the work of God. Amen. And then secondly, I want it says, and hewn stone. Now, they didn't have Clarksville brickwork to go and buy their stones from. You know what? Back in Tennessee, where I'm from, there's some old stone furnaces. And they're the cut brick. They took limestone out of the county and they cut it into block and they made with it what they had. But you know what? It's very hard, tedious work. I've seen it done. And old limestone's all we have there at home. And you know what I've seen? When people are hewing that stuff out, as they're putting the pressure that's needed, many times the brick breaks. I mean, they'll get it almost perfect. And that last little, and there it goes. You know what? What would happen today, most of us would get discouraged and quit. When that block that looks so perfect that you've been working on about 4 or 5 hours and you give it that last little tap and it just goes, we'd be quitters. We'd be quitters. And so we find then that these were men that were dedicated to the job. And the whole work was to repair the house of God. Verse 7, howbeit there was no reckoning made of them of the money. Now they give this money for the supplies. They give this money out of the house of God. And when it says there's no reckoning, you know what? It means that they were trusted. You know what? It's a sad day when we get a mission letter and we begin going through it and we flip it over to read the money verse. You ever seen anybody do that? I'm just talking about what I've seen with my own eyes. You know what I want to know? I want to know the front page and if there's been souls saved and if my missionary is saved and his family as well. There was no financial accountability. Now, I'm not proposing that. I think there should be, and a man of God will want that. But listen, it's not priority. It's not the first thing. They so trusted these people that the money was given them. And then it says, because they dealt. Now that's the word meaning business deals, dealing with the money, because they dealt faithfully. Well, we need, you know, why there's so many mistrust today and that situation has happened is because there's been many that's not faithful.
Yeah, that's right.
They've disappointed us. Yeah. They've let us down. But I want you to see that should not change our trust. Verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law. Now I want you to see the miraculous thing about this, and they're fixing to get the word of God. They're fixing to hear really the first sermon they've probably heard in 100 years, and they're fixing to receive that word of God. And I want you to see when it happened. It happened after the work began. It didn't happen. They didn't go down to the house of God and find the book and say, hey, I believe this old house needs to be fixed up. They found it while they were working. They found it because they were digging. They found it because they were repairing the house of God. And I don't know what they moved aside or what broken stone lay over it, but I know that they were in the work and they found the Word of God.
Amen.
You know why we're not more refreshed than we are? Why we're not more excited about the things of God? Why sometimes we're at the point of quitting? Because we're no longer in the work. Because we're not digging in. Because we're not doing what God's given us to do. And because of that, you know, what we transcribe the work is, and this is part of it, but we just say, well, we're holding to the truth. Well, praise God, what else are you doing? Are you out there teaching the things of God? Are you out there door knocking? Are you out there, you know what? The most inadequate I ever found, and you know, we've been, and y'all probably think we're Armenian now, we went out handing tracts. Handing out tracts. There's a little, I thought it was going to be a small group, Irish Day celebration in a little town close to us, a little south of us. And we went down there. I took about 250 tracts. There were over 7,000 people there. I wish I'd had every box that I have down at the church. And I could have, I never even got to the court square, and they said there were 5,000 just in the court square there at Erin. I never even got that far because I ran out. You know what? I thought a lot about that, and I said, well, praise God I ran out. At least I was handing them out. See, we need to be about the work. It don't make you Arminian to spread the gospel. It really don't. And we need to be about the work. You know why our churches are drying up, and I fully believe this. It's just like a garden. If you don't get out there and weed it and hoe it and water it, you won't harvest nothing. And pretty soon what you'll have, instead of having a garden, you'll have a bed of weeds. And you know what I've found? When you let that go to that point, when you start pulling the weeds, you'll destroy your garden in the process. And so we see they found the word after the work. Verse 9, and Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, the servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe shewed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest have delivered me a book. You know what the sad part is? He didn't even recognize what it was. Remember, I believe it's in this same book, maybe 2 or 3 chapters back, that there rose up a generation that knew not God. Have we not done the same thing? Listen, they hadn't seen the Word of God in so long, they didn't even know what it was. They, you know what? And y'all really, somebody saying, I believe Brother Asbury is saying something about his guns. You know what I put away is good old King James Bibles, because I believe very soon we could be without. Up in my pulpit at New Testament, I have about 50 Bibles in my pulpit. Just wait. We give them out when somebody comes and expressed interest, but you know what? I like them being there. It may not be always that we have them. You know, could you imagine, I have my children here with me. Could you imagine 2 generations away and them saying, Daddy, what's this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Pappy Lafferty, what is this thing? You know, you think that's absurd. It could happen.
Right.
It could happen. And so we see then that they didn't even recognize the book for what it was. We found the book of the law. I'm sorry, and Shaphan the scribe shewed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest have delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now, I'll say this, that Shaphan had some courage. And if you want to be about the Lord's business, you better have some courage.
Amen.
Because listen, Shaphan had done read through this. When he said a book, it's because he didn't respect it for what it was. He didn't know what it was. But you know what? After reading it, he had the courage to go read it to the king. He had the courage to present it. You know what's wrong with God's people today? We're embarrassed. You know, it thrilled my heart. A while ago, the brother that preached for me Sunday, he came to me, and he checked in at the motel, and he said, are you there for the fishing tournament? You know, in Dover, that's all we got to do. And he said, no, I'm not here for the fishing tournament. Well, are you in? And it was something else. Are you in for the turkey hunt? No, I'm not in for the turkey hunt. He said, I'm coming to preach at New Testament Baptist Church. And she said, oh, I don't know what that knowing look. And she said, oh, that's where Brother Lafferty's at. You know what? Praise God. I'm glad I'm recognized. It may be as a crackpot, but listen, at least I'm verbal. At least people know who I am. And you know what? When people should know that about you. People should understand, hey, I go to Home Baptist Church. You shouldn't be embarrassed about that. You should have the willingness to praise God for it. So we see some courage in Shaphan. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. Now the second thing is, today is we as God's people, we don't have no grief. We can hear about one of the Lord's churches closing down, give it one of those old spiritual sighs. Must have been what God wanted. You know? That's where we've deteriorated to. You know what? I know the will of God can be and that a church might close, but you know what? It'd be a wonderful thing if we could get sad over it. It'd be a wonderful thing when we hear that, we begin to weep and wonder why. Wonder where that church had gone wrong. You say, well, that don't mean necessarily they did. Well, listen to this, it don't mean necessarily that they didn't either. You know, it could be that God crippled them for a reason. It could be that God withdrew himself. You know, he still does that. When people get in error to the word of God, he said he would not bear witness to that. And it could be that he withdrew himself. And you know what? That should cause grief among the people of God, not a spiritual sigh.
Amen.
God help us. And so we see that old Josiah was brokenhearted over his people. He rent his clothes. Listen, that wasn't the black grieving garment. He had on the king's garment when he did this. Pulled it aside, throwed it off, and brokenhearted about the things of God. You know what? What that represents? Giving up your self-righteous position of authority. You know what? I love being pastor of New Testament Baptist Church at Dover. But I also love taking the hand of somebody and say, let me tell you about the real gospel. As a nurse, I've had many, many opportunities to take the hand of the dying, take the hand of the elderly, and say, listen, you may have been deceived. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. And you know what? I'm just as thrilled to do that as Larry the nurse or as Larry the father as I am as pastor of New Testament Baptist Church. Most people don't even know that I'm... Well, I'll give you that woman that works down at the hotel. And so we see then that he had some grief about this thing. And the king commanded, verse 12, he did something about it. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah a servant of the king, saying, go ye inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that we have found, for it is the great wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. Now, you know what? When whatever he read, I'm not sure what it was, but listen, it wasn't one of them health and wealth messages, was it? It wasn't one of them where things are going great. It so broke his heart, he got a group together and said, listen, you inquire this thing out. You know what? I believe that we as God's people today, we need to be doing that. We need to inquire about the things of God. Listen, when we get those news, and listen, y'all don't let the devil do this to you to take an assessment of your church that's not really there. Remember, I believe he said to the Galatian church, old Paul said, you did run well. Who did bewitch you?
Yeah.
He didn't say, Galatia, man, you're topping cotton. Things are going well. He said, somebody's bewitched you. There's problems in your church. There's difficulty there. And so we see that the king, Josiah, did not ignore the truth. Second part of verse 13, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, do according to all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Azariah went unto Huldah the prophetess. Now, listen, ladies, you have a role. Now, I know you can't preach. I don't believe this woman was a preacher or a priest any more than the restrictions in the New Testament. You know what? She was a truth holder. We'll find she knew more about it than they did. Ladies, you know, sometimes you may have to be the one to carry the truth. You may have to remember what he said concerning Timothy, the faith that first dwelt in thy grandmother Eunice and thy mother Lois, or maybe the other way around. But you see what I'm saying? Those were women. He didn't say nothing about your daddy and your granddaddy, did he? He said these two women in your life. And so we find that, ladies, you have just as much a responsibility of bearing truth as we do. And so they had to go to a woman, which is an embarrassment to them, but praise God she was there. So Hilkiah the priest and they went to this prophetess, the wife of Shalum, the son of Tikva, the son of Horus, the keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. Now I tried to search that out and really can't find exactly what that indicates, but I know that it was something in the training of God's people. And she was there. In fact, it says she dwelt there. She lived there. You know what? We as God's people, isn't it a wonderful thing if we dwell at the church? Listen, people, you have to beg the church, let them go. I know that's harsh, but we need to do it. Listen, you know, they'll be your disciple and not Christ. You keep dragging them and you keep begging them and you keep reminding them. Listen, they'll be your disciple and not Christ. You know what? People that get saved and love the things of God, what I found, you don't have to beg them to church. They come on their own accord, listen, and they come with a little bit of zeal and they come with a little bit of gladness. And so I want you to see she at least was where she was supposed to be. Now, this woman, she didn't soften the words. Man, that's our problem today. We soften the words. You know, when somebody takes me by the hand and says, Brother Lafferty, do you believe I'm going to hell? I say, well, are you saved? And when they give you that saved from what, you know what? Ain't no sense in me giving them any confidence. It ain't no, listen, if they don't even know what they're saved from, certainly, probably, they're not saved. Have you had an experience with Christ? Listen, you know what? The Pentecost was about took that from us, but there is an experience with Christ.
Amen.
There is a true regeneration. There's a place of the moving of the heart. And listen, if He's not done that in your life specifically, you may not be saved either. You may be a strong, sovereign grace Baptist and listen, be just lost as a goose in a hailstorm if you don't have a true experience with Christ.
That's right.
We need to get back to that. We need to get back to some truth. And so we find she didn't soften it for him. Verse 15, and she said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, meaning Israel, and upon the inhabitants thereof, meaning the Israelites, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. So she said two things. Listen, this judgment's coming. You know what? Judgment's coming upon this earth. Listen, this year everybody's been troubled about the economic situation and the political situation. You know what? I believe the very thing that God wants to happen will happen. Amen. He's still in control. You know what? Our current commercial situation, our current economic situation, it may pass. I'm not saying that it will. You know what? We've done worse off than Israel, and he took their whole nationalhood away. If you study prophecy, and you men, y'all take me aside after the service and let me know if I'm wrong, I don't see the United States in end time prophecy. I really don't. And so you know what? That means we could pass away. God's used this nation greatly in spreading the gospel and in protecting truth. But you know what? We've given it up as a people. We've given it up as a nation. And listen, the judgment of God could easily come upon us. And so she didn't soften truth to make old King happy. And then she said, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place." Let's drop down to 17. "Because they have forsaken me." You know what? We can forsake the Lord and still be good, solid Baptists. When he speaks to this heart and say, "Listen, you need to knock on that door, those ratty people that live next door to you, who let their kids run about half naked. You need to go to them, invite them to church, and speak to them of the gospel." You know who we want to go to? That four-bedroom brick down the road, don't we? But when it's the less fortunate, when it's the meanest drunk in town. Listen, I'll tell you this. He's not here. He's back in Tennessee. My brother-in-law, Mike, was the most drug-addicted drunk that you could find. And it sometimes just made me, and I'll be honest, Lord, Lord's dealt with me about this. I don't feel this way anymore either, but it made me sick that he was my sister's husband. Really did. I'm just being honest. But you know, the Lord's did a wonderful work in his life. And he loves the things of God. He's a member there at New Testament now. And you know what? It would have done me no good to go, "Mike, you're okay. You're a fine fellow." You know what? I wouldn't even let my children go over there unless I was with them. You know, that's good parenting. But I always said, "Mike, I'm praying for you." What good would it have done to say, "Mike, I hate you. You make me sick." You know what? And Brother Gordon Downs, he's in Thailand now as a missionary. Me and him went there together and witnessed to him and saw him weep about the things we were speaking. We should not be embarrassed to go wherever he sends us. Listen, what I found, he don't send you to the comely parts. Or he don't me anyway. He sends you to the parts that will be embarrassing. And so we find that's where we need to go. "Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands." Let me say this very quickly. I'm about running out of my time. But listen, let me say this very quickly concerning this defense of those false priests. I work with a woman. I love her. Her name's... I better not do that. She's a Pentecostal woman. And she'll come to me, and she goes, you know, she'll always present why she's right. I try to keep a calm attitude. I always have my Bible there on the desk, and I'll flip it open and say, "What about this? What about this?" Try to do it in the right attitude. Because what I understand from the Bible, she's got a false god. You can call it what you want to, and she may be a saved woman. I don't believe she is. But she's got a false god. She's at least got false truth. Would it do me any good to say what her name is and say, "Man, you're doing a fine work. We believe almost the same thing." Would do no good, would it? Would be no benefit to her. Would be no help to her. And so we see the problem. They had a religion, but they just didn't have God. Verse 18, "But to the king of Judah which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus saith to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words that thou hast heard. You know, this is the rich part of this woman's testimony. This is the wonderful truth. And I want you to see that it was specific to a man that decided to serve God in a day that it wasn't popular. In a day it wasn't the thing to do. A young 18-year-old boy, God rose up to be a testimony among those people. And in that, I want you to see the different message for him. Because thine heart was tender.
Yes.
You know what? Among our people, we need tender-hearted people.
Yes,
oh, not all self-righteous. You know what? You know who gave me the truth about the church? The Lord did.
Amen.
I didn't come to it on my own. You can say what you will. That's every time self-studies help me, it's because the Holy Spirit showed up.
Amen.
You can read that thing, and it'll be like a Sears and Roebuck if you don't get the Holy Spirit of God with it.
Amen. Amen.
And so we see the truths that we cherish God has given us, and we see the same thing because he was tender-hearted and ready to receive. God helped him. And thou hast humbled thyself. You know what? Pretty humbling thing to go down to the drunk's house and say, listen, I'd love you to be in the house of God. And you look and see who's Before somebody, you know, we don't have cars passing every 3 minutes or 15 in a minute, like here. Make sure nobody's looking and run out to the door and say, wish you'd come to church. No, go down there and say, listen, I've been thinking about you. Lord's impressed my heart concerning you. Would you let me come in and show you a few things about the things of God? Is that not the better? That is being tender-hearted. That is showing concern. And that was the life of Josiah. That's why the Lord allowed him to build the temple. Because his heart was tender. And thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against the place. Then the last thing I want you to see, his attitude toward the Word of God. He didn't say, this is wrong. This don't refer to me. He said, because when you heard the Word of God, your heart was tender.
Yes.
You know, would to God that we'd get that way again.
Amen.
Would to God that our Lord would begin to stir our hearts. And when we saw that dejected person on the road, the one that embarrasses us to speak to, that God would create us in us a love to be with Him. Listen, we need to be about the Father's business. Let's get back to work.
Amen.
Amen.